Deutschlandfunk. Corso. Kunst und Pop.
I would call it an embedded documentary because first the plan was just to document the election campaign. But then you wanted more. Why would Hillary cooperate in this more? What was her purpose? Was it to maybe to explain once and for all some misunderstandings?
Yeah, I mean, it was, as you mentioned, it was my idea to open it up and make it a whole story about her life. She went along with it because I presented it, and this was the truth, that I felt that her story was emblematic of the history of the feminist movement, the history of our political system over the last 50 years. Why are we so divided now? If we look back in time, we can see from your story in particular, illuminate certain factors. So I think because she thought, well, okay, this is my story. Maybe it can be a learning lesson from people. And also, she wasn't running for office anymore, so she did have the ability to be candid in a way she had never been able to for a lot of her adult life.
You just start the documentary saying, oh, she seems to be unlikable, she seems to be inauthentic, all yeah. these things. I don't know why. Do you know why people see her in this way?
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole premise of my series was to understand why is she such a polarizing figure? Why do people put her on a pedestal, glorify her, and then in the opposite way, really vilify her, you know, accuse her of all kinds of criminal acts and, you know, and then everything in between. And part of it is gender. I think that she has always pushed the boundaries of what people are comfortable women, you know, what sort of roles women can have. And so she's been this lightning rod. I think part of it is just having been in the national spotlight for so long, and we have a very, you know, during her husband's administration is when you really saw the nastiness of partisan politics. You know, the Republicans thought, well, we're just going to stay in office forever. They had 12 years of Republican presidents, and Bill Clinton came in, and that really upset them. So there were a lot of personal attacks. And that lingers. You know, even if things get disproven, the accusation still leaves a space in people's mind. Even people that are supporters, they still wonder, is she corrupt? Is she this? And so I think it's both of those issues that have confused people as to who she really is.
Would you say, in her case, we can see that America is not ready to have the first female POTUS? Would you say it's still today?
I would say definitely America is sadly not ready to have the first female president. And hopefully that will change. But I think even in this election, you see that a lot of the female candidates are struggling with the same sort of unconscious bias that she struggled with in 16. So we haven't really gone very far. What you did see happen is this wave of women being elected into Congress and the Senate that had never happened in those kinds of numbers before. And, you know, you didn't just have one woman running for president this election, which she was the only major female to ever run. Now you started with six women who were legitimate candidates for president. So change does not, unfortunately, usually happen overnight. It's baby steps sometimes. And so we're getting there. I mean, there has been, but it's what is the most challenging is to get women in the highest position of power. You know, you might have a lot of female executives, but it's hard to get female CEOs. It's like, it's okay to have a lot of female senators, but who's going to be the boss? And that is the hardest change we are now facing in gender.
Germany has a female boss since 15 years now.
Well, I do think the parliamentary system is a little different than the system in the United States, where really, you know, you're not just voting for the party, you're voting for a cult of personality. And so women are judged in a very specific way. Whereas in a parliamentary system, I mean, not just in Germany, but in other countries, you've seen women become prime ministers. So it's, you know, it's harder for that to happen in the U.S. because of our political system.
We all thought when she lost second time the chance to be the president, that it must depress her. And a little bit, she said, oh, it was like a little breakdown she had when she heard, okay,
yeah,
she lost. Yeah, what do you think? How deep is it, I mean, in her, this having two time lost?
I think the thing she struggles with the most, And I, you know, a lot of Americans struggle with the most is not that she lost, but who she lost to and having to watch him every day. And your average citizen who falls on the side of, you know, being a Democrat struggles with this every day. And I think for her, it's probably even harder because she was the one who lost to him. And so, you know, when she says she will support whatever Democratic candidate wins the primary, she means it because, she, you know, she more than anyone would love to see a change in our administration.
Bernie Sanders, she will support him or not? What is your impression?
I think, and she said, that she would support whatever candidate won the Democratic primary. I think that, you know, whatever personal feelings she'll put aside because she was very committed, like many of us, to change the current administration.
Is there any chance to get rid of this president?
I don't know if there is a chance or not. I'm hoping. I don't know. I'll find out.
Politics is the art of survival, she says. Mm-hmm. She says in the movie. So does it mean, too, that women have to be as strict and harsh and, I don't know, male-like, show their male side, too, if they want to be, I mean.
Well, I think in any kind of challenge, you have to be tough. And whether that's considered a male side or a female side, I don't know. Certainly know a lot of tough ladies. So I think there is a cliche that women are just nurturing and men are tough, and I don't think that's true at all. So I think, you know, the art of politics is being tough-skinned because you have to deal with a lot.
Yeah, you looked into it, even if you didn't hold the camera for this campaign. But yeah. I think you were very much into it. So what was your feeling? Did you see things where you thought, oh my God, I didn't know that, or I could never do this, or?
Well, I felt like documenting or telling her life story, I just thought, oh my God, I could never do this, period, because there were so many times where she was personally attacked for trying to make change or get things done, or just every decision she made, from like what hairband am I going to wear to, you know, do I want to get universal health care passed, would be broken apart and dissected and criticized. And I thought, my God, after what you went through in the 90s just as first lady, I don't know how you decided to then run for office. I would have just retired and maybe done something behind the scenes or something entirely different. So yes, in that sense, I, you know, looking at the breadth and scope of the challenges she faced, I was very impressed by her fortitude.
25 days of hair and makeup, she says, summed up.
Yeah. If you just did it all in a row. Yeah, it's a lot of hair and makeup. Yeah. I mean, women, you know, we are held to a different standard of beauty. And even if we don't care on a personal level how we appear, we know that we have to care because it does affect people's decisions and how they judge you.
She's ambitious, isn't she? Yeah, you must be. Is ambition maybe also a character thing that we don't like with women?
I think that ambition is very much respected with men, and it's not with women, that women should not be ambitious. But then, you know, how do you ever get to a position of power or making change if you're not ambitious? You can't.
How do you experience, you did also the interviews with Bill Clinton, his mm-hmm. her husband, so how did you... I mean, she seems, I don't know which age he has, she has, is it the same age?
They're almost the same age.
Same age, yeah. She's much stronger, much...
Well, you know, I think he comes across that way because he's talking very emotionally about, you know, his personal life, and so he gets very shaken up. Maybe he comes across as a bit more frail because he was emotionally frail at that moment.
So accompanying the election campaign, and then you made 30 hours of interviews, 7 days or something. Yeah. So you come close to a person, you came close to her. So how much distance can you keep as the filmmaker to, you know, I miss a little bit critical voices maybe. You have not so much critical voice because it's very much her staff and people pro-Clinton. You can't criticize this Clinton clan thing, you know. There are voices who say, okay, these connections to Wall Street and here and there.
Well, I wasn't that, I mean, I interviewed her for 7 days, but I didn't spend time with her otherwise. I wasn't actually the one filming her during the election. So I was being able to be removed, and I interviewed a lot of journalists so that they could bring a more objective opinion. I tried to interview her critics, and they would not sit down with me. I very much tried. No Republicans that I went to over 30 of them. They all refused, even though I was, look, you know, and I had creative control. I had editorial control. I made that very clear, but they refused because any kind of association was too risky for them, even if it was to be critical of her. Because she was sitting down for an interview and telling her own story, and it wasn't going to be clear right-wing propaganda, they wouldn't do it. So it wasn't that I didn't, you know, that I wanted to, and I don't think it's hagiography. I do think, you know, we are critical of her choices to do Wall Street speeches, for example, and it was optically a mistake, and sometimes, you know, she's certainly made mistakes, the way she's handled the press, the way she's been guarded. So I don't think that there was any interest in my part in doing a puff piece.
Mm-hmm. Last question. I don't know if you want to comment on the Weinstein judgment, because you are in the filming, in the movie business.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm glad that he was convicted of some of the charges. And there's certainly been an amazing reckoning of the way our entertainment industry has been. And, you know, just being a female director over the last 25 years, I've, you know, experienced my own sexual harassment in various ways. And you just, you know, you never felt like you could do anything about it until very recently. So it's been incredibly gratifying. I once had a meeting with Harvey Weinstein where he was just verbally completely inappropriate, and I was up for a film to direct a movie. So I certainly don't have a lot of empathy for him and anything that he's done. So I'm glad to see that that judgment was made. I mean, they tried for a long time to get him on various charges, and it never happened. So, yeah, finally justice is being served.